Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search Rock C3 for our app. This is the fourth week of our series called Dangerous Prayers, and this week, Pastor Josh discusses the prayer, Lord, teach me. Enjoy!
Well, hello! How y'all doing? Everybody good out there? Hey, if you're a dad, just wave your hand right now. Any dads in the room? All right, everybody cheer them on, okay? All you dads, so thankful for you dads that you're here. It's a great day to be a dad at The Rock. Because as you noticed through that video, we are giving away a flat top grill. For those of you here in Conway, it's out in the lobby. You can check it out. You can text in. If you're a dad, you can have your kid text in. You can have your wife text in. You can have your friend text in. Text in as many different times you want from as many different phones as you want. And who knows, but somebody tomorrow, we're going to pull that name and somebody's going to enjoy that grill. I know that we've got people watching online right now, and if you're watching online, you can do the same thing. Just enter that in. Now, if you live like around the world or in some other country, might be hard for you to get the grill from here, but we'll still take care of you. If you happen to win it, we'll send you a Lowe's gift certificate. This message is brought to you by Lowe's, okay? But that wasn't planned. That's off the cuff. But anyway, we'll take care of you if you're online or if you're here in Conway. Somehow or another, we're going to make sure a dad gets a grill to flip some burgers and enjoy your family time, all right? So really excited about that. If you are new online, you saw the text message, send that the word connect in. If you're on campus with us, let me just simply encourage you to go to the connect corner. Just right through those doors or out in the lobby to same place. We would love to connect with you if you're new with us, because we'd love just to let you know a little bit more about the church and help you know a little bit more about us so that we can maybe take some steps together, all right? So today's going to be a great day. We're going to talk about this idea of teach me, and as part of it, I wanted us to think about things that our dads have taught us, right? Our dads have taught us different things in life, and one of the things that dads teach us is how to tell a good joke. Maybe, okay? So I wondered, like, what your favorite dad jokes were, and so I sent out a push notification this week, had several of you reply with your favorite dad jokes, and I'm going to do my best to help tell those jokes, and you participating by laughing with me or at me will make me feel good today, okay? So here it is, the best dad jokes that came in. And again, let me remind you, you sent these in. I did not come up with any of these. They are from you or other people who call The Rock home. All right, for instance, dad joke one. When does a joke become a dad joke? When it's a parent. All right, you get that, okay. How about number two, all right? Why did the Clydesdale give a pony a glass of water? Because it was a little horse. Come on, Vinny, that's good, come on now. Okay, all right, how about another one, all right? I heard this in this week. How do you pick up a country girl? A tractor. That came straight from Eric Roberts on Thursday night. Okay? All right, here's a good one. This one is just corny, okay? Let me just say this one. Did you hear about the guy who invented lifesavers? I heard he made a mint. Corny. Again, it's from you, not from me. All right, last one. What is the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman? I'm not telling you. So you can figure out the punchline on your own for that one. But anyway, some of you just got it. I can tell on your faces. It's a good day to be a dad, isn't it? It's a good day to be a dad. Let me just say this, that today we're going to hit this idea of Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. And I want us to think about it from our dads for a second, that what I loved about the text that you all sent in when I sent this out was some of you just threw in a joke. But most of you said, when my dad and I were doing this, he would say this. When my dad and I were doing this, he would then tell me this joke. And it was things, it was memories that you had with your father. And for many of you, you have great memories with your father. That there's things that you remember sitting and doing with dad and things that he taught you. And I want us to learn from that, and I want us to build upon it. Now, on the flip side, I know that there's some of you here, some of you online, who you don't have those memories, that you don't have the memory of your dad teaching you something, or you don't have the memory of your dad spending time with you, and maybe your situation is a lot different than some of other people's situations, all right? And I know in either way, there are things that we need to learn today. And what I want us to do for kind of the rest of time on is think about the things that our Father in heaven can teach us. Because we have a God in heaven who is our Father, and there are great things that he can teach us. And I remember when I first started going to church and I heard God was like my Father, it didn't make sense to me. I had come from a situation of not knowing my dad, so the idea of God being a dad, I didn't like that idea. I was just like, well, I haven't had a dad in the past, so why would I want a dad now? Because the only memories I have of a dad are not a good dad, so I didn't like the idea of God being called my father. But the more I started to experience him, the more I started to dig into his word, the more I started to understand how good of a dad God is. How good of a father he is. And he has things that he wants to teach us today. But for us to be taught from God, it will take an act of humility. Mary mentioned it during worship for those of you, obviously, who are here on campus, all right? That Mary mentioned that, and this idea of humility. It goes right along with all of these sermons, these series that we've been talking about. As we've been in this series of dangerous prayers, every prayer is based upon humility. Week one, we talked about the idea of, Lord, use me. Well, for the Lord to use you, it takes an act of humility, of saying, God, I'll do whatever it is that you call me to do. That when you say, Lord, search me, it takes an act of humility of saying, God, search out my sins, I'm offering them up. When we say, Lord, break me, it takes an act of humility where we say, Lord, break me of my pride so that my heart can break for what yours breaks for. And today when we say, Lord, teach me, it takes an act of humility because we have to be teachable. You ask any teacher about a student in their class, and there's a vast difference between the kids who are teachable and those who aren't. And the difference is humility. Ask a coach who has coached athletes, and they'll find out athletes that are coachable and athletes that are uncoachable. And the difference is humility. An athlete that is uncoachable is full of pride and says, well, no, I've got this figured out. I'm the best on the field. I can do this. I don't need to listen to you. An athlete who is coachable is one who says, I want to learn how to be better. And today, what I want to challenge each and every one of us to do is to take on humility and learn from God, our Father, because he has things he wants to teach us. And I'm going to make this real simple today. We're going to look at Psalm 25, and we're just going to pull out a couple verses. Because in Psalm 25, it is packed with a bunch of verses all about being taught, all right? I'm only going to pull a couple of them. My challenge to you is throughout the day today, go and read the whole chapter. Mary brought up Psalm 25, verse 9. I want to start by talking about Psalm 25, verse 8. And in Psalm 25, verse 8, it says this. It says, the Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. The first thing that we really need to catch today, if we're saying, Lord, teach me, is this idea of, Lord, teach me who you are. Like I just want to pause, and I want to stop, I want to reflect on who God is. Now, Lord, I want you to teach me that. And for some of you, you have no faith. Maybe today is your first experience even ever coming to a church. All right? Others of you, you've been a Christian for years. Today, we can still learn again this idea of, Lord, teach me who you are. And verse 8 says it. It says, the Lord is good and does what is right. The Lord is good and does what is right. And let's camp out on that for just a second. Because just saying the Lord is good is debatable. Like you might not think it's debatable, but there's many people who would say, well, that's debatable. I don't know if God is good. And we'll base it on several different things that we think, one, we're all good, right? Like all of us are good. We have an idea, well, I'm all right. I'm at least better than that person. But when Jesus was confronted with that issue, he actually told a man, no one is good. The only one that is good is God in heaven. But you might go, well, is God really good? Because if I look at the things that are going on in this world, if I look at the tragedies that happen all the time, if I look at a pandemic that's going throughout our nation, throughout the world, if I look at crisis that is happening in people's lives, if I look at illness in people's life, if I look at people who have died who maybe aren't with me this Father's Day, how can you say God is good? It's a good question. I want to make sure you hear this. If that's a question that you're wrestling with right now, if you're wrestling with the idea, is God good? You're in a safe place to ask that and to wrestle with it. But I will challenge you with that thought. I'll ask you to wrestle with it with this idea. Be willing to experience him, because if you're willing to experience him, if you're willing to connect with him, I think what you'll find is that he is good. And he is good because he does what is right. See, what God does is always right. He's always coming from this aspect of knowing what is right. Now, again, you might go, well, wait, how is he right if this is happening in my life? Again, we don't see the whole picture. God does. What we have to do is trust in faith that he is good and that he's always doing right and that he shows us the proper path. All right, let me go to a different scripture. Psalm 34, verse 8 says it this way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Be willing to experience him. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Faithful love and truth go before you. I would say this. He is good and does what is right because he is faithful. And he is true, and his love is everlasting. I ask you to experience him for this reason. Outside of faith in him, outside of experience him, outside of connecting with him, outside of tasting and seeing that he is good, it'll be really difficult to ever say that he is good. But when you start walking with God, when you start turning your life over to God, you start recognizing who you are and who he is, then all of a sudden you can go, wow, he is good. Because when I come face to face with God, what I recognize is simply this, that I'm not nearly as good as I thought I was. And he is way better than I ever dreamed. See, there's the difference. I know it's a hard concept to grab. But if you'll experience God and walk with God, what I'm confident of is that when you look God in the eye, when you come in contact with him, when you worship him, when you celebrate him, when you connect with him, you'll start to realize, I am not nearly as good as I thought that I was. That I am a sinner and I need to be saved. And because of my sin and my need to be saved, I look at God and I recognize how good he actually is, because he is willing to save a wretch like me. He is willing to save a guy like me. And I remember when I first came to grips with that and came to understand how far away from God I was because of my sin. Yet God was saying, I still want to be in relationship with you. Come to me. See that I'm a good dad that can lead you in a good way. It changed my whole outlook. So my challenge to you today is to first pray a prayer. Lord, teach me who you are. Just teach me who you are. And again, there's a thousand directions I could go with that. But in simple, I just say it this way. Teach me that you are good. That you are good. And that you do what is right. But let's go on to another thing. Lord, teach me who you are. But also, Lord, teach me what to do. How many of you all, just raise your hands, how many of y'all's dads taught you things to do? Taught you what to do? Any of your dads teach you how to work on a car or a tractor or any kind of motor type thing, all right? Any of your dads teach you construction? Any of your dads teach you how to grill? Any of your dads teach you how to leave things laying around the house? Right? Our dads teach us things. That's just part of our job as a dad, is to teach. It is to let our family, let our kids know what to do, all right? Our Father in heaven, he wants to teach. He wants to teach us what to do in life. Go back to Psalm 25. And it reads it this way, Psalm 25, verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Because you are good, you are the God of my salvation. And because I know that you are good and that you have saved me, then what I want to ask you to do now is now teach me. Teach me your truth. Teach me what I should be doing. So if I put my trust in you, that you are good and that you are able to save me, now, God, teach me what I need to do. Teach me how I'm supposed to live my life. And the beauty is that God is willing to teach us how to live, that he will teach us what to do. And he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest way that the power of the Holy Spirit works is through the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit teaches us what is on God's mind, what is on God's heart, what God wants us to do through the Holy Scriptures. Another verse in Psalm 25, it's verse 14. It says, the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he reveals his covenant to them. Let me break this down for just a second. The secret counsel, that God has a secret for you, that God has secret wisdom for you. That most people, that when you look at what God's word says, will look at it as foolishness. Some people will look at God's word and say, well, that doesn't matter. That's old. It's thousands of years old. Of what value can it be? But what God says is his word is a secret counsel. It is secret wisdom. It is the secret sauce. If somebody was able to give you a secret sauce that you knew could help you be successful, wouldn't you want to know what it is? I mean, remember the movie Space Jam? Remember Bugs Bunny and the secret sauce? Like, it's like, hey, there's some secret sauce here, MJ, that you need to take it, and it's going to help everybody play better. Listen, if there was a secret sauce that could make you a more successful parent, wouldn't you want to know what it is? If there was secret wisdom that could make you a better husband or a better wife, wouldn't you want to know what it is? If there was a secret wisdom that could help you have your finances get in better alignment or a better order, wouldn't you want to know what it is? If there was a secret wisdom that could help you be a better student or a better employee or a better employer, wouldn't you want to know what that? Like, if you had a secret wisdom, if somebody came and said, I've got a secret that will help you be 100% successful in what you want, all of us, I think, would say, well, I at least want to know what it is. And as long as it's not a pyramid scheme, then I'm in, right? You know what I mean? Like, I want to look at it a little bit. Guys, God's word is secret wisdom that will help you be successful in all areas of life. The secret wisdom, the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he reveals, he'll show it to you. God's whole desire is not to hold things back from you and say, well, you're going to have to figure that out on your own. No, God wants to reveal his covenant to them. What is his covenant? His covenant is his promises, that God is making promises to us, promises on how to live, promises on how to know him, promises on how to walk with him, promises on how to be a husband or to be a wife, promises on how to be a parent, promises on how to get your finances in order, promises on how to make it to heaven, promises on how to make it through this life. That his covenant is filled with promises that are available to us. All we have to do is walk them out. It's that simple. All we have to do is say, Lord, I want to learn them. And once I learn them, once I'm taught them, now put them in practice. And guys, his word, the Bible, is full of his promises. And it is full of ways that we need to be living, things that we need to do. And again, if you knew it was a secret wisdom that would help you to be successful, shouldn't you just read it? That's simple. I think about my kids, and I think about things that I've taught them as a dad. And let me just say this, that the most important thing I've taught them, I don't think I taught them from this stage or any stage I've ever stood on. I think the things that I've taught my kids, the most important thing that I've taught any of my children is nothing that they have heard from this stage. It's something that they saw every morning. Because I made a commitment about 30 years ago that I would spend every morning with God. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I learned that there was secret wisdom in his word. So in the morning, my kids know where to find me. They know where I'm going to be sitting, and they know what I'm going to be doing. And my prayer as a dad, my number one prayer as a dad, is that they have learned the secret to success in this world, and it is in following God through his word. That's what I want for my kids, and that's what I want for you. That's why we give you the Rock Reading Plan. That's why it's all there, because it's a plan to help you to do what God is calling you to do. Will you pray that? Will you say, Lord, teach me today what to do? And to say that means that you've got to be willing to open up his word and hear from him. It means you've got to be willing to pay attention to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember what you just read? Now here's where you need to put it into play. Lord, teach me. Look at him again. Lord, teach me who you are. Lord, teach me what to do. Lord, teach me where to go. Now, again, when I look at this, I think if this plays out for fathers, that if you're a father, you're trying to teach your kids who you are. If you're a father, you're trying to teach them what to do. If you're a father, you're trying to teach them where to go. Obviously, with the Lord, it all works as well. Lord, teach me who you are. Lord, teach me what to do. Lord, teach me where to go. That we have to have people in our life that will help us know where to go. Like, that is one of the jobs as a dad, is to teach your kids how to navigate life, what path to walk on, where to head, how to make that decision and walk it out. I am thankful, though, as a dad, that I don't have to do this exclusively on my own, right? I am thankful that I have other people in my kids' lives who have helped them navigate how to make it through life, how to walk this life out, how to head down the right path. And a lot of those leaders, I'll call them coaches. And they might have been life coaches. They might have been spiritual coaches. They might have been athletic coaches. But they are adults who have helped walk out life with my kids. This week, we had high school camp, all right? Crazy, that we thought we'd take about 30 kids to high school camp. It's just like, okay, it's COVID. We don't know what's going to happen. We actually had our largest high school camp in the history of the Rock this past week. Crazy, okay? Crazy. And the spiritual decisions, I know five people got baptized in the ocean Friday night. Several others are getting baptized over the next couple weeks. They wanted to be back home where their family and friends could be here. But God's doing great things, all right? But I'm thankful because at camp, there are spiritual coaches that are walking alongside of those kids. We call them small group leaders. That every child, everybody needs a coach who will help them know where to go. My kids, I have four, but three of them graduated this year. One from college, two from high school. And what Chris and I did a couple weeks ago, probably about a month ago, is we sat down and we started thinking about all the different spiritual leaders in our kids' lives, all the different coaches in our kids' life, all the different people in our kids' lives who showed them where to go. And we reached out to them, and one, we reached out to them just to thank them, just to say thank you for helping lead our kids down a right path. And I'd love to tell you about all the different people, but I can't. But I want to focus on one when I talk about my son, Tate. Because Tate, he graduated from high school this year. And one guy who was instrumental in Tate's life is a guy named Officer Richie. Some of you might know Officer Richie if you're from Conway, okay? Officer Richie, he's the SRO officer at Conway High School. And, when Tate was about a sophomore, he started coming home and he started saying, hey, Dad, school was good today. I'd be like, what'd you do and all that? He's like, well, I was hanging out in Officer Richie's office. I was like, okay, who's Officer Richie? He goes, oh, well, he's a police officer who hangs out at our school. I was like, okay. And then a couple days later, I'd be like, hey, Tate, how was school today? Oh, it's good, man. I was in Officer Richie's office. And I was like, okay, you seem to be in Officer Richie's office a lot. Is that a bad thing or a good, like, are you getting sent there or are you there because you want to be? He's like, oh, no. Officer Richie, he's been helping me in school and he's been helping me with life. And I can tell you, Officer Richie has made an instrumental impact in my son's life. When it came to a teacher appreciation night on the football field, Tate asked Officer Richie to wear his jersey. When it came to graduation a couple weeks ago, he's like, Dad, I got to get a picture with Officer Richie. Here's something that's cool about Officer Richie. Is that Tate, all of his life, has never known what he wanted to do when he became an adult. When Tate was in the middle of his senior year, I was like, Tate, have you thought about what you want to do yet? He goes, yep, Dad, I got it figured out. I want to be a police officer. I want to work in law enforcement. I said, Tate, really, yeah? And I was like, yeah, I was excited about that. Love it. If you know Tate, he is a strong kid, okay? And I was like, that's awesome. I said, why? And he goes, Officer Richie has pointed me down a path that I really like. I am thankful for men like Officer Richie and women like Officer Richie. I'm thankful for men and women like Officer Richie who are wearing that badge. I'm thankful for men like Officer Richie who are coaching up kids. I'm thankful for women who are like Officer Richie who are investing in other people's lives. I'm thankful for our youth leaders who are investing in lives. You see what I'm getting at? That we all need people who will come alongside of us and walk with us and point us down the right path. We need that. But most importantly, what we need is we need to follow God down that path. That Officer Richie, he's made a huge investment in Tate's life, and I'm so thankful for that. But I'm also thankful that our Lord is doing the same thing with Tate and doing the same thing with all of us. Look back at Psalm 25, verse 4. It says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. That there's a path that is just on this life that we need to follow. There's a path of eternity we need to follow. There's a path of spirituality we need to follow. And we need to walk down that path. And God wants to show us this path. He wants to point it out to us. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. That there is a path that God has for our lives, and we've got to walk down that path. And here's the problem, too many times that we'll say, okay, God, I want to get on that path, and we'll start walking down that path, but we'll forget about the coaches in our life who are pointing us down that path. Here's what I mean. We'll start walking down that path, and I don't think very many times in life that we come up and we're like, well, I just want to exit stage right. I think many times in life what happens is we start down a path, and before long, we just start merging off that path. We just start veering off. We just start getting out of sync. We just start getting out of direction. And before long, we're off of the path that was intended for us. And that's the reason we've got to have people in our lives who are constantly encouraging us to stay on that path. We've got to constantly be listening for the Lord to help us stay on that path. There will be times that as you're going down that path, you're going to have a decision you have to make. Do I go right or do I go left? Trust the Lord because He will guide you along the best path. You got to trust Him. Well, how will you know what that path is? It goes back to doing what God has called you to do. If you're willing to do what God has called you to do and you come to that fork in the road, it's going to be real easy because you're going to say, I know that's not what the Lord has called me to do. I've got to go this direction. This is not what the Lord has called me to do because that does not lead me to who God is. But if I take this path, that is what the Lord's called me to do and it'll lead to who God is. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a fork. There's other times where I just start to veer off. And as I start to veer off, that's when I got to make sure I have people and I got to have the Holy Spirit nudging me back and staying on the right path. Because God has a path for each and every one of us. And He wants us to walk it. And He wants us to walk it towards Him. So will you pray today, even as we move into a time of response? Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. Teach me who you are. Teach me what to do. And teach me where to go. And I think the best example of this is Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth and he took human form, what did he do? He taught us who God was. He taught us who the Father was. He showed us what to do. He showed us how to live out truth. He showed us how to live the promises of God, the truths of God out on this earth. And he showed us where to go. Even when it was difficult, he showed us where to go. Even when it was hard, it would have been so easy as Jesus was walking down that path and he saw the cross in front of him. It would have been so easy for him just to veer off and say, I don't want to go there. That God, I know that's the path that you have for me, but I don't want to go there. It would have been real easy for Jesus just to veer off the path, but instead of veering off the path, he stayed true. Because he knew where God was calling him to go. He knew what God was calling him to do. Because he knew that the Father was good. And if he didn't know the Father was good, he would never do what the Father called him to do, and he would never go where the Father called him to go. But because he knew that the Father was good, he was willing to do what the Father called him to do and go where the Father called him to go. And we need that in our life as well. And the only way we're going to get there is if we pray on a daily basis, Lord, teach me. If we wake up today, or excuse me, if we wake up tomorrow and we say, Lord, teach me today. And then if we wake up on Tuesday and we say, Lord, teach me today. And my challenge right now is going to be for each and every one of us to say this prayer. A simple three-word prayer, but a difficult prayer, a dangerous prayer, because it's founded in humility, but a prayer for the next 7 days where you say, Lord, teach me. Maybe you're willing to say that today. Maybe what you want to do is come up front and take communion, maybe get down on a knee and humble yourself and just say, Lord, teach me today. Maybe what you want to do is just stay in your seated area and just stand up and praise God and say, Lord, teach me today. Maybe you need to pray with somebody at the Connect Corner. Maybe you need to get baptized today. Whatever it is you need to do today, I want you to do it with this idea of, Lord, I am following you because you have taught me something today. Maybe you've never responded to God's gift of grace. Today's the day to realize I'm not as good as I thought I was. But he is really good. So I'm going to trust him for salvation, and I'm going to walk down that path, and I'm going to do what he calls me to do. And what he calls you to do is surrender. What he's calling you to do today. So why don't you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and stand up. And as we move into this time of response, I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing the last 4 weeks, that as we pray, if you feel like, yes, Lord, I want to have this spirit that says, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me every day. Then I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and just to say this prayer with me. And you can just say it out loud, nice and softly, just between you and God. But if you're today willing to say for the next 7 days, Lord, teach me, then I'm going to encourage you to do that during this prayer time. Let's go ahead and bow. If you're willing to pray that prayer, you raise your hand. Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me who you are. Lord, teach me what to do. Lord, teach me where to go. Lord, teach me today. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.